Intervju Radija Študent.
Oye, Siri. Oye, escúchame. Tú esa jeva allá. Tremenda sucia. Sucia, sucia, sucia. Tremenda sucia. Sucia, sucia. Escúchame, sucia. Escúchame. Sucia. Esa jeva. Sucia. Tremenda sucia.
Dobar dan, lep pozdrav Terminu za Eriš intervju. Danes gostimo enega zelo zanimivega elektronskega ustvarjalca, tazga zelo posebenega, malo več v njegovi glasbi bo povedal sam, Ota von Schiracha, nastop danes večer v Channel Zero, še z nekaterimi drugimi domačimi DJ-ji in pa producenti. Dajmo slišati zdaj malo njegove glasbe, potem se nam bo pa Oto pridružil v studiju.
Es sucio de la calle y es bien rico, rico. Yo le digo, baby, yo soy el más chico. Brinca, tócate, brinca, tremenda sucia. Brinca, tócate, zapica, tremenda sucia. Brinca, zapica, brinca, tócate, brinca, zapica, brinca, tócate.
Dale, dale, dale.
Tómatelo, Pepe, tómatelo.
Dale, baby. ¡Nio!
Tremenda sucia.
¡Nio! Candela.
You got it, man.
¡Nio!
Yeah, yeah.
Tremenda sucia.
¡Nio! Vacila.
You got it, man.
Downtown, Miami. Downtown, Miami. Downtown Miami, 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 Miami,
tremenda sucia.
Candela, baby, ño.
Oye, escúchame. Tú esa jeva allá. Sucia, sucia, sucia.
Las sucias en las calles son bien ricas, ricas. Yo le digo, mami, tremenda sabica.
Brinca, tócate. Brinca, tremenda sucia. Brinca, tócate. Sabica, tremenda sucia. Brinca, sabica. Brinca, tócate.
So, Oto, hello, welcome to our studio. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Your first time in Slovenia?
Yes.
You've been here, you played a gig last night in Maribor.
Yes. Greetings, Slovenia. I am Oto.
Thank you. So you know, we host quite numerous artists that are quite unique, but I think you're pretty much one of the most unique ones that's been in this studio or gave us the interview. You know, is that uniqueness something you pay strong attention to, whether it comes to records or performing on a stage, or does this just come sort of natural to you?
Wow, thank you, first of all. Thank you very much. I guess that's a compliment where I come from, being unique and...
I think it's a compliment everywhere, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Unique, oddball. Yeah, I guess I was born that way because I was born in the Bermuda Triangle and we just, us people that born there are just super weird, bizarre people and we appreciate Earth, you know, and...
How many people were born in this triangle?
In the Bermuda Triangle? Yeah. Quite a number of people. Mm-hmm. It's connected between Miami, Bermuda, and San Juan. And but only a few are able to open the portal into the pineal third eye brain activity.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've been now on tour, I think for about 10 days on this current tour, is that so? And you played a show basically every night. You know, when you start up a tour, you set a certain limit, you know, I do just this many shows because it seems that your shows are really intense and kind of
I mean, for me, it's hard to imagine, you know, to keep doing this for like 2 months. Do you set a limit how many shows you will do on a particular tour?
Yeah, this tour was supposed to be weekends only, but it turned in, there was a lot of requests. The new record on Monkey Town gave a lot of requests, and you know, I just had to hit the gym hard in the Miami Triangle and get ready for this amazing tour. But yeah, it's, every night is retarded. You know, I gotta brace myself, and you know, the tour just started. But I feel healthy, and that's the most important thing. I feel like I can pull this one off.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I didn't see you perform live before, because I think I would remember it, but I saw some clips on YouTube of how you perform live, and there's often other musicians or dancers joining you on the stage, but you're currently doing the show yourself. So, you know, ideally, if there were no limits, would you prefer to do shows with, you know, more of your friends, or do you like to control things by yourself?
No, I would definitely bring the Banana Sloth, the Alligator, Mr. Feathers, you know, Pandy 666, Triangle Ange, you know, all the people that play with me, I would bring them. Actually, Triangle Ange meets me tomorrow in Italy, and we do shows in Italy. Unfortunately, couldn't come this way, but mm-hmm. next time I'll bring some of the weird Triangle. Yeah, the Banana Sloth for sure needs mm-hmm. to come and open the brain cell.
Nice. You know, one of these clips, I was checking for your live shows and also maybe some songs I didn't know, and I saw a short interview you did for Warp magazine. Do you remember that? It was, and you know, my Spanish is not really good, so, but I think I understood that when you were asked something about Miami, it's quite different to the rest of the States, because there's a, in culture or music, there's a European heritage, and on the other side there's Caribbean and Latin music. So did I understand correctly what you're saying?
You did. Mm-hmm. I think the European vampires came to the Caribbean for some vacation and stayed, and when Miami's the closest to Cuba and to a lot of the ports of South America, so Miami is 90% first generation living people. So a lot of people are with this European attitude or with this South American attitude.
Mm-hmm. You know? Has this changed somewhat over the years, maybe over the past 15 years or so?
No, it started in, I would say, the 60s, 70s started slowly. But now it is definitely more like an international city, I would say. You leave 30 minutes from Miami and you get to Fort Lauderdale and you're in America. You feel it. Mm. But as soon as you get in Miami, you're like, hold up, you know? The people don't talk English. You know, the vibe is different. You know, music is way different too.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of music were you exposed to when you were growing up? Was it this more Latin side than?
Yeah, more Latin. Well, Miami has this strong Miami bass mm-hmm. roots. So when you're in school, that's what the kids, you know, push on you. But then at home, you have your Afro-Cuban grandma playing the jams, you know, and you know, preaching to Elewa and all the saints. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a mix of magic, kind of, you know, Toca Santo vibe, mixed with you know, crazy electro Miami, you know, nightlife, mm-hmm. freestyle, you know, good times, good all fun music, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting. You know, so it was this Miami bass that first got you into this more electronic side of music?
Yes, it did. Miami bass, when I started making music,
because Miami bass, I think it started like in early 90s, is that so, or was it before?
Probably early 80s.
Early 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Like you know, Megatron, Gigolo Tony, DJ Smurf, Dynamix, and then Two Life Crew kind of pulled, and they started releasing. I think they put Miami more on the map, right? Two Life Crew out here, more than like Magic Mike or.
I don't know. I will have to trust you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, reading your biographies, first thing you open Wikipedia, it says there's a connection to IDM. Were you exposed to any of that music that, you know, British guys were doing during 90s? Or is this more through connection, through Schematic record label, you know, that was sort of, as I see it, was a sort of American reply to what was going on in England in the 90s.
So, yeah.
Do you see this connection to this IDM?
Yeah, Schematic was like the weird swamp kids in Miami. They lived out in the swamps, Romolo and Josh. And I made my first record, my first full album for them. I made a 12-inch before that, and they wanted to release my music, but I remember the songs they picked were all like the crazy stuff. They didn't pick any of like my bass stuff or my, or I was doing a lot of like breakcore then too, and they didn't pick any. So the first album I guess got pegged as IDM through Schematic and yeah, the whole English movement.
They had a duo called, was it Phoenicia?
Yeah, or? Josh and Rom Phoenicia. Mm-hmm. Phoenicia.
And they were strongly connected, you know, they even released a record on Warp Records, so.
Yeah, I think they released first on Warp before they released on Schematic as Phoenicia. Before that, they were Soul Oddity, which if you listen to is completely
different.
It's more like Miami stuff, like electro.
They're based in Miami as well.
Yes, yeah. They one lives in Miami, the other one lives in New York, but they both lived in Miami then. The label was really strong back then in Miami, Schematic Records.
Yeah, I know that. Are you still in touch with them? Do they still make music?
Yes, they do. Romolo is definitely heavy in the music. He just had a baby. He lives in Miami. He comes over a lot. You know, we hang out.
Nice. You know, so this, you said that they picked the songs for your first album, and the same thing repeated when Mike Patton picked the songs for the record you released through Ipecac.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike did, so, yeah. I sent him like 50 songs.
Do you always leave, you know, the record label to decide what songs to pick from those you make, or?
I like it, yeah. I mean, if I have a vision, no. I'm like, no, this is the album, which I've done for certain albums, like Magic Triangle. I knew what songs I wanted on there. But yeah, with Mike, I let him choose because I felt like, you know, he's such a cool guy. I'd want his opinion. It's an honor for him to choose my record, you know? The same with Monkey Town, you know? With Charlie and Gernot, you know? Gernot, he picked the songs and, you know, we worked on it together, but he helped me a lot, like, decide what was the next Superman vision, you know, the triangle and all that. After
it seems that, you know, you always come across the right people. You know, one we didn't yet mention was Jason Forrest for Cock Rock Disco. You released a record through that as well. How do you meet all these people, you know? Because I think they all kind of share a similar attitude towards music and probably life in general with you. How do you meet all these guys?
Man, we through the universe brought us together. You're right. You know, it's unique because they're all a bunch of ear freaks. You know, they like the obscure stuff, and you know, Jason, you know, also Miguel, Kid 606, he was part of the crew, helping each other out. And you know, it's weird music, so you have to kind of, you know.
Well, do you think it's still considered weird nowadays? Because there's been lots of it, so I think people got more used to it than they used to be. You know, one name that stands out of people you worked with, I don't know, I think it was announced that you're going to put out a record, but I don't know if that happened, but I know that you performed with him was Aaron Funk, Venetian Snares.
Yeah.
So did you ever make any music together or just performed?
Yeah, we started making music in like 2000 together, and we finished an album. It's 10 songs and it's like 10 years. And we finished it in like 2 years ago because we had to, like, it had to be 10 years of music. But there's this joke about not releasing it. It's like, let's see how long we don't release it for. It's like a stupid joke, but I don't know if it's gonna go away.
Mm-hmm. You know, the first time I think I saw Venetian Snares perform was probably about 10 years ago at some festival. It was, I don't know, maybe five days long festival or so, and he was the last one to perform on Monday morning at probably 6 a.m. And, you know, people at that time were quite exhausted already, so maybe 10 minutes into his set, you could see some people dropping on the floor, and they started moving on the floor, dancing on the floor, basically, you know, so it must have been a compliment, I think. And seeing your clips of your show, it seems that it's kind of similar intense performance, you know, you do. So when you do contracts for shows, do you add a special condition or demand that, you know, there must be a medic team present just in case, I don't know, some people lose their conscience or something?
Oh, man.
Did that ever happen? What was the wildest show you can think of?
It's happened at festivals, but they have medic teams ready there. I think, some people, and nowadays we're so pro losing our minds that it surprised me. Somebody would put Venetian Snares at the end of a festival like that. That's a joke, you know, that's like...
Yeah, but it was a cool joke, you know. It was maybe 2 hours from working day. I started, you know, it was Monday, 6 a.m., so it was kind of strange, but
wow.
Also a cool thing to experience.
Yeah, he annihilated them, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've actually played with him where we played a show in the UK, and it was a Glade Festival, mm-hmm. And it was, the whole place was mud and flooded. And they gave us boots up to here to walk to the camp. You couldn't drive a car in there. So we were in book bags with our gear, with boots, wellies, walking through the mud to get to the show. And that was crazy. People died in that festival, mm-hmm. For sure.
And there were probably ravers up to their neck in the mud and just...
They were like shitting and pissing and it just, you know, true animal instincts came out in that festival.
Nice. We saw Aaron perform here in Ljubljana as well, and we also saw Jason Forrest. You know, if we go back a bit to your recordings, you seem to take a bit different approach to your recordings and doing live performance. Do you prefer one over the other, or do you enjoy writing music just as much as performing?
I enjoy both a lot, but I do see what you're saying. I think in live music, I end up making more of a movie and more playful and less strict to like a dance vibe, or less strict to being in front of people, and my true alien instincts come out and my reptilian brain shines.
Mm. Nice. So maybe, you know, you mentioned you put out a new album, Supermeng. Is that how it's pronounced?
You Supermeng. Said it mm-hmm. really correct.
Yeah, so maybe we could just play a short segment of a song you did for this album, and then you can maybe tell us a bit more about the album. Is that okay?
That is very okay. Thank
okay.
you.
Candy?
Intelligent.
Song The Blob from your new album, you know, and when I was reading some reviews of your new album, one of them said that you're basically making fun of yourself and everything else, you know, all the genres that are heard in your music, and in this particular song The Blob, even the title itself is a kind of parodic towards dubstep. So I was wondering, how true is that perception? Do you really do you make fun of, you know, what dubstep has become lately, you know, with Skrillex and all that stuff, or do you don't like dub in general, or do you think it's just something to take a parody on, you know?
Yeah, dubstep, huh? The crazy, I mean, big dubstep world.
I mean, the thing is, on one hand, I wouldn't like to know, you know, because that adds something to your music, you know, not to know if you're serious about it, if you're not serious about it. I mean, obviously, the way you make music, you know, it's really, it's put out in a smart way, so you're serious about your music, but how serious are you in making fun of all these genres, like in this particular case of dubstep?
Yeah, well, I mean, shit, man, I made so many songs in my life. To be honest, it's like, you know, the UK dubstep scene is so old, you know, it just hit the world now. But I used to go to 2002, I think, dubstep was around, you know, 10 years
you
ago.
You mean like people like The Buck?
People, Kevin, yeah, Martin, like Mala and like this sub dub kind of like
So proper dub.
Yeah,
I mean dub.
But that's what it came from, you know. It kind of like came from there, and I don't know. I mean, I made so many songs, and I think I didn't want to release dubstep because I'm not a genre kind of guy. I want to be more like an artist. 50 years ago, I want to be making music with chickens and goats fisting each other, and like just, you know, paddling boats and old ladies yodeling, you know, that's my shit. But I guess like The Blob is funny. It's a funny track. I love playing it live because there's this like vocal thing I do with it. It's like opens up the bass and it's like bleh, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I can't put an opinion on dubstep because it is awesome, you know. That's why it got so famous. But at the same time, it's a crazy genre because kids are so brainwashed, you know? And it's really the brainwashed people. They're like, I hate dubstep, or I love dubstep. Everything is dub. It's like all brainwashed, you know? So at the end, it's like, it's not, it's fucked up. So yeah, The Blob, it's a good name for the dubstep, though.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, earlier you mentioned that when you work in a studio, you sometimes like to visualize or see your songs as sort of movies. Is that so? So maybe what kind of movies are you into, you know, or particularly when you were making the new album?
Well, I did a short movie. I shot a short movie and directed it with my brother, and we're finishing it now. So I'm doing these short movies now. It's really awesome. But for this album, I guess, yeah, every song is kind of like a short movie, like Quasar and, you know, Superman. It's the first Cuban superhero. And that's the movie we shot now in Miami. It's going to air. It's going to be shown in this film festival in a couple of weeks. But yeah, every song has like Ultimate Universe has a whole, you know, movie to it. And yeah, I see it, but I'm into all sorts of movies, all the weird stuff, all the even Hollywood stuff, you know. I love the culture behind it.
Nice. So, you know, we're kind of running out of time, so you said some things about you know, Mode Selector guys. How did you meet them? Because so far, you know, you were releasing records mostly on American labels. Now you are on Monkey Town Records. Mm. Is this first time on European label?
Yeah, well, I guess Cock Rock, yeah, is an American label. But yeah, well, I gotta think. I was in a UK label, Andrea Parker's label. But yeah, Monkey Town, I met Gernot and Cherry, Mr. Charlie, Snarzy. We met in Detroit. No, we met in Berlin, but then we hung out in Detroit like 2001 for the DMF.
Oh, so you've known them.
Yeah, we started similar paths. We started like releasing very little records, kind of weird, and then we always connected. And I remember Gernot told me 2006 or 4. He's like, hey, we're starting a record label. We want you to do a 12-inch. But he's like, yo, I want to put out your old stuff, like your Run DMC kind of stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Your drug weirdo break, Miami break shit. And it just took forever to me wrap my brain around it to finally give him, you know? But also Miguel helped. Miguel was like, yo, send your stuff to Monkey Town. And
this is Kid 606.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kid 606, because he, you know, I didn't release a record in 4 years. So I was just sitting at home with 100 songs, you know?
Mm-hmm. You probably spent more time in Berlin because of this, or no? Because of releasing record there. You know, the thing why I'm asking this is because it seems that kind of similar the way you explained the you know cultural heritage of Miami, it seems that similar goes for Berlin, because lots of musicians and artists from all over the world found a new home, you know, in Berlin lately. Do you see this maybe similarity? Do you know Berlin that well?
I do, but unfortunately I only spent like 12 hours there this mm-hmm. in the last year.
So
but I want to spend more time there and hang out there.
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't consider you know, leaving Miami, it's still a perfect place for you?
Yeah, it's hard to leave the triangle because it's Miami's one of those cities, it's very it has a temper. If you leave it, it might not want you back.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Berlin. I might kick it in Berlin for a couple of months and make music over there.
Nice. So unfortunately we are out of time, so maybe you can just if you want invite people to your show tonight. What are you going to play? Probably songs from the new album.
Yes, we're gonna go crazy tonight. New songs, old songs, Channel Zero, you know, Come Out Ljubljana, Greetings, I am Otto von Schieda, Please Come to My Mind, and check out my third eye.
Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you, my
thank
friend.
You for stopping by. To je bil torej Otto von Schieda, kot rečen ga danes zvečer, mislim, da se začne stvar ob 11. zvečer, lahko vidite še z drugimi DJ-ji in pa producenti v klubu Channel Zero. Intervju sem pripravil Goran, lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.